Santa Wem Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Governor Sean Parnell introduced his education package Friday, and inside is a small increase to the school funding formula. That increase would come through the base student allocation, which is the amount of money a school gets for each child enrolled. For 4 years, the BSA has sat at $5,680. Parnell's bill would raise it about 1% a year for 3 years. For the upcoming academic year, it would be raised to $5,765. The year after that, it would go to $5,823. Finally, during the 2016-2017 academic year, the BSA would be set at $5,881. There isn't any language that would inflation-proof the formula beyond that point. In a statement, the National Education Association's Alaska affiliate said they appreciated the increase, but that they didn't think the $200 boost over 3 years went far enough. This year alone, the Anchorage School District requires a $251 increase to the BSA to cover their shortfall. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District needs $300, while the Juneau School District needs $425. At current student enrollment levels, the BSA increase would cost $11 million this year. In addition to the BSA increase, Parnell has already included $25 million to offset school energy costs in his budget. And last week, President Obama declared November's storms in western Alaska a natural disaster. The storms inflicted heavy damage on Kotlik and Stebbins and created problems in other Bering Strait communities. Jeremy Zedek with the State Department of Homeland Security says the announcement is significant because it means the U.S. government will foot much of the bill for public repairs.
The Federal Disaster Declaration activates the federal public assistance programs, which will be able to fund emergency repair work for critical infrastructures, damaged utilities. The state will still be responsible for 25% of the cost, while FEMA will pick up 75% of the cost.
There are two relevant funding categories with similar names, which can make it tricky to keep track of where relief money is coming from. Individual assistance is money coming from, in this case, the state. It goes to individual people and households to help recoup lost property. Public assistance, the other category, is being shouldered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency to repair larger stuff, things that it says everybody uses.
Damages to roads, boardwalks, utilities, other public infrastructure, critical facilities, perhaps like a clinic or a school that was damaged. So it's really to help the community to recover.
Money to individuals and households has not yet made it to people in Stebbins. Part of the reason is that DHS extended their deadline for applying for assistance until last Friday. That's because the agency learned that property damage in Unalakleet and Brevig Mission was more widespread than initially understood.
The deadline for individual assistance was extended till January 24th to allow some additional folks in some western Alaskan communities that we identified the opportunity to apply for individual assistance.
Tommy Kirk with the Stebbins Community Association said that people have been notified that their applications were received, but no funds have yet made it to Stebbins. The tangible aid delivered to the community so far has come from outside agencies and informal assistance. Everything from blankets for families that lost their homes and possessions in the flooding to 1,500 pounds of fish soon to be delivered by NSEDC. And the leadership in Stebbins is finalizing a resolution outlining funding priorities for public assistance money. It includes building a new mitigating seawall, plotting a second evacuation route, a multi-purpose evacuation facility up on the hill above the flood-prone waterfront, and accelerating airstrip and water system updates. But for now, there's still a dire need for direct assistance. Of the three families whose homes were rendered uninhabitable by flood damage, two have temporary places to stay, and one is still in crisis. No permanent housing solution is yet in place. So while Kirk says people in Stebbins are thrilled with Obama's declaration, there's still a lot that needs to be done. A former manager of the Fort Yukon Native Village Corporation is facing charges she embezzled as much as $118,000 from the corporation in 2009. A criminal complaint alleges Zelma Louis Fairchild, a former manager of Gwitchaw Z Corporation, altered records and stole money from a safe. Fairchild faces four felony charges February 6th before a state judge in Anchorage. Court records do not indicate whether she has an attorney. According to the complaint, the investigation began when Fairchild's successor took over the corporation and observed it had less money than she expected. An ensuing audit of store records found the store had lost at least $118,000 between July 2009 and December 2009. An Alaska State Troopers investigation concluded that Fairchild had control of the safe. The largest retailer on Earth announced Friday that they will continue to stock salmon products from most of the large seafood processors that operate in Alaska. Previously, Walmart had announced they would only accept salmon products that carry the Marine Stewardship Council label of sustainability. Since most of the large seafood processors that operate in Alaska withdrew their support for MSC, that left most of Alaska's salmon out of the loop to be sold by Walmart. The processors withdrew their support for MSC in favor of a competing sustainability label sponsored by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, which is the seafood marketing arm of the state of Alaska. David Baskin is Walmart's vice president of meat and seafood. In a blog post Friday, he noted that Walmart has proudly sourced seafood from the state of Alaska for many years, and under the newly revised sustainable sourcing policy, Walmart will continue to do so. A Yukon Quest race official says unseasonably warm weather has affected trail conditions, but the 1,000-mile Fairbanks to White Horse sled dog race will start February 1st as planned. Race Marshal Doug Grelio posted a race update on the Yukon Quest website, saying there have been absolutely no discussions to cancel or delay the race. He says changes could be made if conditions warrant. The start location normally on the Chena River in downtown Fairbanks could be moved or modified. The trail could also be rerouted. Grelio said trail crews in both Alaska and the Yukon were in the process of doing a thorough review of trail conditions. Temperatures have climbed into the 40s along much of the trail route in the past week. An Alyeska resort says it is closing its ski lifts and terrain as unseasonably warm weather continues. The Girdwood Resort says its closure will last for several days because warm temperatures have made a mess of groomed mountainsides. The combination of warm temperatures and a shallow, saturated snowpack have made conditions at the ski area too variable. The resort says it is monitoring conditions and operations will resume as soon as possible. The price of gold in New York down $4.70 an ounce to $1,265.30. An ounce of silver down 8 cents to $19.93. It's unofficially 44 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.